pancreatic cancer. Why? Well, because next week sees the start of Pancreatic Cancer Awareness Week. It's only the second awareness week that has been run in the UK. It was an initiative set up by a lady from Hazelmere called Ali Stunt, who joins me in the studio this morning. Good morning.
Morning.
Excuse me. Gosh, guests don't normally have that impression on me. Right, let's start again. Ali, good morning.
Good morning.
Tell me why you set up the Pancreatic Cancer Organisation.
Well, I set up Pancreatic Cancer Action because I was diagnosed with a disease myself just over 3 years ago in 2007. And when I was diagnosed, I didn't know anything about the disease. I hadn't really heard of it at all. I knew I had a pancreas. I knew roughly where it was. I knew sort of what it did.
What does it do?
It actually controls, it regulates your blood sugars and it produces digestive enzymes which helps break down the food.
Ah, so there you go. Fact of the day.
Absolutely.
And I mean, you know you can get lung cancer from smoking. I mean, is there anything that brings on pancreatic cancer particularly?
We don't know exactly why pancreatic cancer occurs, but there are some risk factors which are apparent in the disease. 25% of cases are actually attributable to smoking, and not an awful lot of people know that. Other risk factors include obesity, diabetes, some say excessive alcohol consumption, and also there are some, in a small minority of cases, it is hereditary.
So you became very quickly an expert when you were diagnosed. What was that process like, being told that you've got cancer?
Well, initially I was told I had a mass on my pancreas, and then I went through the whole procedure.
Is that like a lump?
Yes, I mean, it was like a tumour. They'd something was spotted on a scan. So I then was told that it needed to be removed, and it didn't occur to me at the time that it couldn't be removed, it couldn't be cut out. But I subsequently learnt that only 10% of patients who present with pancreatic cancer can actually have have surgery, and that is currently the only option for a potential cure.
How many cases are diagnosed each year?
It's just under about 8,000.
Reasonably rare in the scale of things?
We wouldn't call it rare, we would call it less common.
If you're one of those people, it's not, yeah.
Well, actually,
you don't want to be described as having an obscure rare disease.
Well, it isn't an obscure rare disease, it's actually more common than people think.
Right.
It kills 20 people per day in the UK. Now, that is that number actually equates to nearly three times more people than are killed on our roads each year. So the number is actually quite significant. It is the fifth commonest cause of cancer death in the UK.
And is that because the treatment hasn't become advanced enough as it has been perhaps in other cancers, or because it is a virulent and nasty form of it?
I think it's both. I mean, it is a very virulent, nasty cancer. The problem is that most cases are not diagnosed until it's too late, until the cancer is so advanced that it's spread to other parts of the body and it cannot be operated on. The other problem is that it's been completely underfunded for decades. There hasn't been a push for awareness of the disease, unlike some other cancers. We've got survival rates in pancreatic cancer which are only 3% to 5 years, which are on the floor. Now, those survival rates have been the same for 40 years. Nothing has moved. So, you know, when we look at the awareness campaigns that have happened for breast cancer, for prostate cancer, for bowel cancer, etc., we can see that that's brought increased investment into research into those diseases. So they're now better understood, there are better and more treatments available for those diseases, and as a result we've seen almost a doubling in some cases of survival rates for cancers such as breast.
How did you survive?
I was very lucky. I was purely and simply diagnosed in time to have surgery, but just. I was very close to margins, they use in a technical term, so they only just got it all out. And that's really why I'm here today. And that followed up by chemotherapy and chemoradiotherapy means that I'm here and I'm able to function as well as I did before.
How long ago was this? Was the treatment over a period of months or years?
Well, it was in 2007. It was at the end of August, and I had surgery, which lasted 5 hours. I was in hospital for 2 weeks to recover for that. Then I had 6 months' worth of combination chemotherapy, and then I had a further 5 weeks of chemo radiotherapy. So it was about a year from start to finish in terms of treatment.
How did you deal with that as a person?
I think you just get on. I did have a quick look at the statistics for the disease, and it was shocking, absolutely shocking. And one of the things that I had to do was to look at my case totally in isolation. I had to deal with my statistic as being a statistic of one, because otherwise, I don't think when you're looking at very, very low survival rates, I think it's very difficult to remain positive.
How were your family through all this?
They were astoundingly wonderful, very, very supportive. I've got two boys, and they were brilliant all the way through it. Not to say that we haven't had the odd wobble, but really we've coped with it tremendously well, and I'm extremely proud of my boys and the way that they've handled all
this. How old are they now?
One is 17, and the other one is 14.
So, you know, in 2007, when your youngest was 11, that must have hit him like a steam train.
Absolutely. It was very difficult, I think, to deal with the fact that, you know, mum's got cancer, but also mum's got one of the worst cancers you can get. And that must be devastating for a 10, 11-year-old to have to deal with. But deal with they did, and we tried to keep everything at home as normal as possible. And I was very lucky that I recovered well from surgery and I tolerated the chemotherapy treatment pretty well. So apart from those days that I was going in to have the treatment themselves, I was functioning virtually normally, and my treatment didn't make me lose my hair, which helped. So so really we were able to get on with normal life in between those bits of treatment.
Well, you look an absolute picture of health nowadays, and you're obviously doing great things in spreading the word about pancreatic cancer. The Awareness Week starts next week. What are you hoping to achieve?
I'm going to correct you on that. It actually started this Monday.
I do apologise.
22nd to the 28th.
Okay.
But yes, we've still got a few more days left. I'm actually from this studio going to go on to the Royal Surrey County Hospital in Guildford to have an awareness stand so that we can get the messages out to people. And what we want to do is to make more people aware that pancreatic cancer exists, make people more aware of the symptoms of the disease, of the risks of contracting the disease and the treatment options that are available for them. We also want to make sure that the medical profession is a little bit more educated in pancreatic cancer in terms of refreshing their knowledge. They don't see that many cases coming through their doors as a primary care clinician or a GP. So we need to make sure that they have a greater index of suspicion for when somebody comes through the door with relevant symptoms.
Ali, thanks so much for coming in. Good luck.
That's, thank you very much. My pleasure.
Ali Stunt from the Pancreatic Cancer Action Group. It's 9:13. Let's get the headlines from Claire.